In this episode, you'll discover how to stop being a weak, feminine-pleasing Mr. Nice Guy and set safe yet strong boundaries your wife respects. So welcome in, heroic husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, understand the two ways husbands avoid setting boundaries that erode trust, connection, and attraction. Number two, learn how to set boundaries with your wife that allow mutual connection and understanding to flourish. And number three, you'll understand that anger is a healthy and essential emotion to express and how to express it safely. And we get to that juicy time. It's heroic humility time. Touching base with the ground of truth of where you're truly at. You ever find yourself saying yes to your wife, yet you're stuffing down a deeper inner no that wants to come up? Do you ever find yourself judging your wife harshly, internally or externally, for saying or doing things and making suggestions you feel she should know you just don't like? She should know that shit. If she'd been paying attention, she'd know not to say that stuff or do that or suggest that. And number three, do you ever find yourself snap when the pressure cooker of frustration gets too much from your wife nagging you over time? Just over time, that nagging, that those suggestions she should have just fucking known, and it just gets to a point where you snap. That's it. I'm going to unleash. Most husbands on the planet will resonate with these points in heroic humility time. This episode is circling around the third pillar in the heroic husbands, the pillars of masculine leadership: protection. We define protection as setting boundaries to stop inner and outer forces that prevent your family living their most authentic human experience. So, setting boundaries to stop the inner and outer forces. We're going to be talking predominantly about the inner forces here, internal to you. When you get a grasp of the inner forces, that's where you will be able to sort the outer forces thereafter. We cannot talk about this without mentioning trauma. Emotional trauma. Trauma is this term that's been put about there, and it's an essential part of the human conversation. Becoming trauma-informed is of immense value for husbands, immense value for all of you guys. What trauma is, and in its basis forms, trauma is when humans disconnect from their authentic selves. We have two human needs growing up: the need for attachment and the need for authenticity. We hack away our authentic expression and prioritize meeting our attachment needs. The attachment needs are food, movement, warmth, protection, roof over the head, touch, being carried around the place. We will always prioritize meeting those needs. They are the pure survival needs. When you meet your attachment needs, you can survive. To thrive, you need to have authenticity online. And in the process of growing up, how we end up not standing up for, you know, relentlessly standing up for our own authentic self to come true in our families of origin growing up, is we had to disconnect from our anger. Now, trauma, when humans disconnect with their authentic selves in a family dynamic, in a marriage dynamic, man, that becomes the greatest silent pain a family member can carry. This feeling that they can't be themselves in their own home. This is what is happening in marriages that are crumbling. Like, living in an environment where it's unsafe to share what's real in your human experience this is an unspoken hell that husbands, wives, and children feel. And particularly when marriage dynamics are unstable. Please pay attention to this. When marriage dynamics are unstable, there's a living hell. The human experience, the emotional experience, is not being expressed, and trauma is happening. Now, this episode will really help you get to the crux of that. The crux of being able to protect your queen and kids from inner forces, it's really coming back home and reclaiming your birthright as a human being, as a man, as a husband, to own your anger, to allow the wisdom of that emotion that we call anger to be expressed. I can say hand on heart for sure, struggling husbands have disconnected from their healthy connection with anger. I have yet to meet one guy that has come into Heroic Husbands men's circles one-on-one, and even for my years previous in general men's work and men's circles around the world, I've yet to meet one guy that was not, of course, one of my mentors, that didn't have some major disconnect from his anger. Within the marriage realm, every single one. There is no exception. I have not met one guy that reached out to me saying, hey, I need support. My marriage, wife, whatever, shit is going down. I love her, but I need to turn this around. Can you help me? I've yet to meet one guy that did not have a deep, distinct disconnection from his anger. This is so, so important for you guys, every single guy. In the dysfunctional relationship with anger, and this is in the boundary setting, like boundary setting, as from the title, that's set by anger. But let's look at the dysfunctional element that is so all pervasive. I mean, this was showing up in my own marriage, working with anger and allowing myself the capacity to express anger might have been the most highest leverage thing I've worked on in marriage. It's been astounding. It's really the foundation for everything that's good and beautiful that comes through in my marriage and in my parenting in our general household. But let's look. Struggling husbands go one of two paths in relating with anger. A. They will unwittingly suppress/repress their first, second, third waves of anger. And it's like you're turning it into a filing cabinet of frustration. So the anger, you get that tweak, that heat, whatever visceral bodily descriptives you'd give to anger, and it can be a challenge to become into connection with that. But if you really slow down and be with your body, you'll feel that heat, you'll feel that, you know, that discomfort, there's an intensity in it. You'll feel that. And touch base with yourself. Does this hit home for you? You feel that, and you might semi-express. Some guys say to me, oh, but I did express, she didn't listen. No, I'm talking about owning it and expressing it and grounding in on it. You ground in. You actually go, hey, I'm still a no. Your queen might back argue, she might say this, that, the other, she might try to ignore it, play it off, whatever. She gets upset and you breathe down. We'll talk second half of the episode about how to do that. So, just pay attention to a part of you. Oh, well, I've tried to do it. I do express it, but she's the one. Never go to, oh, but she's the one. Your practice is to be mountain in the storm. Your storm is wounds, woman, and world. If your woman is not, quote-unquote, you know, respecting your anger or respecting what you say in it, you're not respecting yourself to remain grounded. And I mean grounded. Calm, assertive, completely safe with her. So the suppression of the first wave of anger. Then something similar is said, something similar is done, you know, an hour later, a day later, a week later. The second wave comes up, it's a bit more hot. So if you didn't express the first wave, if that felt uncomfortable, you're definitely not going to express the second wave, which is a bit hotter, and then the third wave. And this filing cabinet of frustration, frustration, I look at frustration being unexpressed anger, unowned, unexpressed, suppressed anger becomes frustration. So the filing cabinet of frustration is growing hotter and hotter. Then the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the 100th wave of suppressed anger filling the filing cabinet of frustration, it explodes. The filing cabinet just explodes out, and that comes out as aggression and blame. This is not anger. This pattern that I'm talking about here, this first pattern, 90 to 95% of struggling husbands embody this pattern A. I'm imagining if we were all in a room, hundreds, thousands of husbands coming in one big kick-ass convention center. Wouldn't that be awesome? It will happen. We will have live meetups. We're getting there. But if we were all in a big convention center, 90 to 95% of the hands in the room would be putting the hand up. Pattern B is more like the trigger-happy expression. And it's a trigger-happy expression of anger, but it's not anger, it's aggression. Aggression, and it's coming from a nervous system that feels under constant threat, that you just can't settle down. You just can't rest. We definitely call this aggression, not anger, because it's aiming to hurt. It's aiming to attack. There are insults that come with it. You know, when it comes like that, it's so hot, so trigger happy that it's really intense in your face against your queen, against her behavior, making immediate judgments about her character. She's such a, you know, the complex hero, simple bitch, that cognitive distortion where it's like, how dare you, you know, say that thing about me, or how dare you even question me because you have this full complex idea about, well, how complex you are, and 10,000 different things have come together to that point to have you show up in a certain way, and how dare she say that thing or do that thing. She's a simple bitch. She's a simply a horrible person. It's you are overly cognizing the complexity of your human experience, but in a very in an oversimplistic way, you make a judgment about your queen. That's the second one, trigger happy. So you might relate with both of those, one of those. It just doesn't work. Like in this, in the unowned, unskillful expression of anger, the greatest enemy that you need to be aware of as husbands, if you have any intentionality of actually creating connection with your queen, creating trust with your queen, attraction with your queen, getting your marriage entirely back online, not dysfunctional to functional, fuck that, that's bullshit, from dysfunctional to like extreme levels of expansion, happiness, health, happy, healthy, horny. There the words are coming through me. Like really getting it back online, playing the infinite game where it just gets better and better and better and better. That's the type of marriage we practice and bringing into existence within Heroic Husbands. That's the approach. It's heroic. But your greatest enemy to doing that is the righteous high, where you can even intellectually go, yeah, Mark, that sounds like pattern A, that's me, or pattern B, and there's no better or worse between them. They're both unsafe. But you could even tick that box in your head mentally, or you could be in a room in front of us all and you could put your hand up and go, hey, Mark, you know, it's like I get, I'm a pattern A, I'm in that 90, 95%, or, you know, some of you are, I'm no, the 5, 10%, I'm more that trigger-happy, aggressive style. But what would also be true is if I spoke to you guys and I said, hey, do you guys have that anger? Have that anger, but it's aggression. It's so common to use the word anger. I'm trying to get it into the culture that. So you have that frustration, anger, suppress, etc. And it comes out like really nastily. But do you ever find that you have the thing that stops you from owning it in the moment is like you feel so right. Some part of you knows, God, this is like ruinous. It never works to create connection. But another part of you goes, you are so justified in saying, in telling her these things right now, in thinking like this. You're so right, man. She deserves to have this. She needs to be nailed on this right now. Let's go. But it never fucking works. The righteous high is one of the greatest enemies of your marriage. Your righteous high. It's masculine practice to own the cognitive distorted thinking in your head and bring yourself back to connection to truth first. Masculine practice, masculine growth happens in facing and embracing truth and facing and embracing challenge. Feminine growth happens by embracing and experiencing appreciation and praise. They're two entirely different fields. You're the masculine pole, so truth and challenge are, that's the platform for you to grow. Unowned anger becomes unsafe aggression. Aggression aims to hurt. Aggression, it's the accumulated unexpressed waves of anger that builds, that becomes a tsunami. I really like the metaphor. Lock that in, the tsunami versus the first wave. It destroys, the thing about aggression is, it destroys trust every single time. I really want you to like pay attention to this. 1,000 men in a room, there's a lot of nodding heads. It destroys. When have you ever had one of these outbursts and have your queen come to you go, you know, I totally get you. You know, thank you for unleashing 20, 30, 40 years of unexpressed, you know, frustration with life, actually, you know. Because clearly our queens know it's like this, your unowned frustration, that's a frustration with life. That's a frustration with, you go back to childhood. Why we don't have a healthy relationship with anger is we, our upbringing, the profoundly sick society mixed with maybe a loving family. Hey, maybe not so loving. Some of you guys could have had like what you might term as horrifying childhoods, but we all collectively didn't have an environment growing up that really fully honored our full authentic expression. Because if we did live in an environment growing up where your full authentic expression, which includes anger, which you would have built that muscle of knowing, saying no, setting a boundary is a really essential human skill, and it takes emotional intelligence to do so. If you had an expression of anger allowed through you, your authentic expression would have been safe. You wouldn't be having marital issues. You wouldn't. It's the key skill set. It's the foundational key set. Key skill set. So, I would put it out there that the lack of learned skillfulness in modern men in expressing anger safely is probably the leading reason for marriage breakdown globally. This is that important. I really want you to lock in with that. Now, let's go to the flip side. So we looked at the dysfunction, and it's important to look under the bonnet and just really put this, the flash lamp in and go, wow, this needs work. That's the pattern that does not work. And knowing that it doesn't work, I really want to wake you up, guys, to go, fuck, I need to set a new standard on that. The powerful men that we call heroic husbands, and you're all heroic husbands, you're listening in. This is a potent challenge to your core. And by listening in, every minute you listen in, you know, you don't click the stop button. You're a powerful badass. So heroic husbands do whatever is necessary to learn how to set healthy and safe boundaries through the safe expression of anger. They recognize it's a number one skill set. It's a skill set and a mindset that goes along with it. But it's a skill set that takes practicing, takes training, takes educating your nervous system in, and then you get to work. Doing this and learning this skill set, it's probably the great work you need to protect your wife and kids. That real protection. And I think most guys that I've spoken with get that deep down there's some, like, being a protector. you know, you're the powerful masculine leader, the lion, you know, it's like that, the lion's roar, you protect. These are people that if their life is in danger, you would lay your life on the line to protect them. The protector is, it's so viscerally and archetypally, ancestrally, like coded into the male psyche. It's there. Now it's to bring that back online and not have it projected against our family, but to have it in a viscerally felt, ever ready awareness, and have that available to set boundaries within ourselves powerfully and with the world, not subconsciously dumping our shit on our queen and kids. So looking closer, anger is the boundary setting emotion of the system. It's a boundary setting emotion. Setting boundaries is essential. If you are experiencing anger, and you are, whether you're aware of it or not, anger is there. It's an emotion. Emotion. Energy that puts into motion. That's emotion. It's, if you're experiencing it and you are, well then there's a reason for it, and it's learning how to channel the wisdom of it that is the key skill. When anger's emotional wisdom is honored in the first wave, it allows you to do two essential things as a human being. And again, I put it in the first wave. Number one, when you express anger in that first wave, you get to say no to an idea / a suggestion / opinion somebody else tells you they want you to do or to follow. An opinion about you. They might call you out. They might say, hey, go do this thing. Whatever it is, there's this idea or suggestion, something that has been communicated to you from the outside. And you get to say no to that. That's number one. Number two is the most important thing, guys. This is the most important part. This profoundly sick society has conditioned us to believe that anger is all about against. You know, it's a boundary, it's a shield, it's whacking somebody on the head. It's not. The most important part, what anger tells you every single time without exception, is anger will always help you uncover some part of you that is trying to express itself. Anger helps you see what you are for, not what you're against necessarily. The first thing is like it puts up a shield because it has to say that no. But the most important thing anger tells you is there's some unexpressed desire deeper inside of you that is wanting to come into expression. Thus, anger, owned in its first wave, aims to support you, let the world know, let your queen know, let your kids know, you know, who you truly are and what you truly want. There's that unexpressed desire under every wave of anger. And if you look at, this is why I kicked this episode off, bringing your awareness on what trauma is. Trauma is disconnection from authentic self. Well, every single one of you are having, quote unquote, issues in marriage. It's all happening. It's all perfect. It's the imperfect unfoldment of your life's journey, of your spiritual journey, of your journey of self-mastery. So, you know, amor fati, like Nietzsche said, like love of fate. It's time to passionately embrace and love what is. But when you look back mechanistically, all the issues in your life happened when you disconnected from your authentic self growing up. And that's why marriage can feel like such a same shit, different day, hell on repeat experience, because there's a part of you so cagey, so nervous, so lacking the knowledge of who you truly are that, you know, that's why we fight tooth and nail aggressively and we get so upset with our queens, because our authentic self is being challenged, but we don't even know who the fuck that really is. And this is like the brain fuck of marriage. How do you come back into connection with who you truly are as you hold space for your queen? And hey, high chances, she doesn't fully know who she truly is because she's been traumatized growing up. And how do you do that as you stay connected, as you heal yourself, but stay connected with your queen? Well, the magical recipe, the magical ingredient and skill set is you as the masculine pole learning to own your anger well. It's anger that allows you start rediscovering and reconnecting with who you truly are, with your true self underneath all the layers of conditioned responses to disconnect from who you truly are and be a feminine pleaser, be a pleaser of the world, and the infamous nice guy. It's a horrible persona. It's wickedly self-deceiving, in it makes you believe you're this nice guy and she's the horrible person that doesn't get you, when in actual fact there's a nasty bastard, there's an early cunt part underneath that, that is in the background, is knifing your queen and judging her. It's time to get real. Guys smile and laugh. You know, when I speak like that, you know, in one-on-ones or in the Heroic Husbands training and community platform and the coaching calls, because every guy knows it. I just speak it. And in the community, we speak to this. We own it. It's like, yeah, there is this horrible sounding part that's super judgmental and it's really just a nasty bit of gear. It's part of all of you guys. It's owning it makes your queen safe. When I say practicing expressing anger in the first wave is important, well, think about it. When you express it in the first wave, there's very little momentum in it. So the tsunami is the unexpressed, repressed, suppressed anger that turns into the filing cabinet of frustration that then explodes out. That's a tsunami. There's a ton of momentum. Expressing anger in the first wave, I can't overstate how important that is. First wave, you'll almost find that you'd want to ignore it because it feels so small and so meaningless. That's the time to express it. Because the charge in the first wave is going to be relatively small. Now, I know there's a part here where there's going to be such a habit of having suppressed it that when you get to practicing first, you're going to feel quite a charge probably. But the idea is that you start practicing going first wave. Oh, there's anger there. You express it. There's way less emotional charge in it. Thus, it's going to be way easier to communicate your truth in the moment and have that experience be safe for your queen. The main thing we need to get over here as men is this idea, because we grew up with predominantly feminine energy in our childhood. So often, dad was at work, mom did like most of the rearing of us, and then when we went into the schooling system, for the first 4, 5, 6 years, the early days in modern schooling system, it's predominantly women that take those classes. So we got an overdose of feminine energy. That is not wrong. It doesn't mean that feminine energy is wrong, but it's out of balance. We didn't get enough masculine energy that would have supported us finding that core and finding that no and finding our voice. There's a great power with masculine energy, but that was ripped from us. So we ended up disconnecting from our masculine power of saying no, which is like standing up, coming from our core to say a yes to who we truly are. And we ended up en masse believing that anger is wrong, that it's immoral, because hey, you can only be told by your mother, by your teacher, that oh, just don't get angry with me. Yeah, we've heard this. We get socially isolated in school, at home, told to go to our bedroom. And it's not all on mom. Our dads did it as well. They come home from work and, you know, there is this dynamic, the united front way of parenting, where, you know, the very often a wife will have had the stress of minding so many things and trying to lead things, and then the husband comes in and she goes, you need to support me with telling Mikey that he's acting up, he's being bold. And the husband might even, a lot of the time, see Mikey or Mark or whoever the fuck is the child in the situation, the son, he might even see his perspective, but for the sake of peace with his queen, he knows he's at work the whole time, so he just goes, right, Mikey, get off to bed. Go off to your bedroom, you know, and only come back when you're ready to apologize to your mother. It's the 1 minute burst of parenting when, in fact, with way more awareness, if a dad can sit down and go, okay, guys, let's sit together, let's have a conversation, let's confront this, let's get fucking real. Come on. And he supports his wife and queen, and he owns that, hey, baby, I'd say you're full of tension with Mikey because you're full of tension because I'm actually working way too long and I'm not supporting you. We haven't had sex in 2 months and I haven't been romantic with you in, you know, 15 years. Queen starts crying, Mikey's off the hook, and you're being a real man. Too often we got, growing up, like, told off for anger being wrong. So we have this moral conundrum inside of ourselves going, when I feel anger, your awareness goes to the room of anger in your mind and you go, that's wrong, that's bad, I got hurt. You need to confront that and be aware that there's going to be this deep inhibition to expressing it, and it will be backed up with a ton of beliefs from childhood that if I express this, she's going to reject me, she's not going to love me, she's not going to respect me. Breathe into that and express it anyway. You know, a marriage without boundaries is like a city without, like, properly defined streets. It's the streets in a city. I heard one of the guys in Heroic Husbands, Dwayne, thank you, a shout out to you for this. It's a beautiful metaphor. I hadn't heard it before. That boundaries are like street boundaries in a city. It's like can you imagine the chaos that would happen with the ecosystem of a city and all the people that are going through it if you didn't have very clear boundaries where you could drive and it would be safe and where you could not drive? And if you go over those boundaries, everything in the ecosystem becomes super unsafe for everybody with immediate effects. That's boundaries. A marriage with no boundaries, and if you have had an inability to say no, that's a marriage without boundaries. It's unsafe for everybody. It is like a city without the curbstone that tells you, hey, oh, your tire is rubbing off the curbstone. Dude, you better just, like, swerve a little bit more right or left to get back in on the main thoroughfare on the road, man. Like, you're about to cause mayhem here. Boundaries. Saying no. So I have a powerful challenge for all of you guys. I'm wanting to bring in functional challenges so you can take something away that will set an if-then pre-commitment or some behavior shift. It's bullshit. Just, it doesn't really work when you're listening again and again and again and again. Yeah, like in general, your nervous system will pick up some cool things and ideas, but behavioral shifts that sets you into the arena to practice this. For the next 30 days, practice expressing your anger in the first wave. When you feel the anger, no matter how small, and say to your queen, I want to own that a part of me is experiencing anger. A part of me is experiencing anger. Please do not say, I'm angry. You know, the Mark dude in the podcast said express anger. So baby, I'm angry. If you say, I'm angry, it's literally an incantation that you're stating all of you is angry. You'll find that it's way more powerful. And it will bring conscious practice to you to go, I want to own that a part of me is experiencing anger. Because there is a part of you. There's a part that you have yet to come into connection with. Then take a moment to feel into what unexpressed desire the anger is pointing you towards. Take a moment. Own the anger, express it. Then sit with it. You can literally say, hey baby, I'm just taking a moment to see what's actually wanting to come through me. What's the desire that I'm needing to express that this anger is pointing me towards? And it could be a desire to express some value that your queen mightn't be aware that you have. And, you know, hey, I have a value of fairness. I don't perceive this as being fair, what you're saying. It could be a simple desire of, baby, there's an anger there to say no because I have a need. I have a felt need to actually sit and relax right now. My day at work, whatever, it's super. I am super mentally exhausted. I'm a no to supporting you on that now. You might asterisk it, not nice guy style shit, but you might go, hey, I'm a no to supporting you on that now, but I can definitely get up early tomorrow morning, or, you know, at the weekend, I can commit that early Saturday morning, I will get to that, and I will make sure that the room is ready for, you know, whatever, the visitor's coming, etc., etc. So, but you express the no. You express the no, a part of me is experiencing anger, there's a part of me wanting to say no to this right now. And then you touch base with what's the desire. There's some part of your authentic expression knocking on the door every time anger is there. So take a moment. You might even have to take, you know, you might need to come back to your queen. Baby, I'm a no. There's a part of me that there's an anger there. A part of me is experiencing anger. Can I come back to you? You know, after a couple of hours, or I'm just going to go on for a walk. I want to go for a walk and really touch base and really feel into like what that anger is pointing towards, baby. And I'm committing to you. You know, you can use all these words. It's like, I'm committing to you, baby. I want to find out what's truly the issue there. In all of this, know that you'll have found your deepest desire when it's telling you what you're for and not what you're against. This is key. Aggression. Your anger is bleeding into aggression when you go, well, my desire is that you just don't fucking say that anymore. Like, if any guy comes to me, they don't, because I've set it up in when I'm with them. It's your desire is never to get her to be quiet. Your desire isn't to tell her to stop doing that thing. The desire is something much deeper, and it's what you're for. Yes. The anger is there to go, there's a part of me would wish you'd stop doing that or saying that, of course. But it's the part two of desire. It's the most important part. It's what you're for. Baby, you know, the desire is behind my wanting you to stop doing that or saying that is a desire that you more fully see me and appreciate me for what I am doing. It's my desire that there's my value of fairness, my value of, you know, being treated with respect and love, my value of whatever that could be coming through there. There's this deeper desire. Baby, I desire to have respectful language be used. Your name calling again. So my desire is that respectful language is used. And this becomes inarguable. When you get to the part that's deep inside of yourself, that's your authentic truth. I'm not saying that you'll set the first boundary. Again, there'll be parts of your nervous system that will be edgy, that your body will be transmitting a message as you practice this that will evoke a response where your queen mightn't seem to drop in immediately the first time, but when you practice this again and again, your queen will come to understand, oh, he's actually saying no. One of the guys in the community, he was on one of the coaching calls, and he said recently, you know, he was complaining quite a bit, and I coached him on that. He's a powerful badass. He's with Heroic Husbands, he's a founding member, doing incredible work. But he was like so many men out there, and myself for a number of years, a few years back, when it was like he noted that he would be complaining, he'd get really sort of bitchy and complaining and irritated when his queen would ask him something. And his beautiful queen just said to him, she's like, you just are incapable of saying no. And we laughed together on the coaching call. It was like, yeah, like every guy. It's like we can resonate with this. His beautiful wife was on the money. His queen was on the money, as they so often are. She's like, you just are incapable of saying no. And what challenge did I set that man? The exact same challenge I'm setting you guys here. A 30-day challenge of when you feel anger, express that anger through that form. I want to own that a part of me is experiencing anger. I'm a no to what you're saying, what you're doing right now, baby. And then you get to work and you figure out what the deepest desire is. What is underneath that anger? There's always a desire to express some part of your authentic self. And very often that's going to be a long forgotten, long disconnected part of your authentic self. And when you bring that to your queen, she'll start knowing who you truly are. I express anger in the first wave, like 95% of the time with my queen. And if I notice any time afterwards, it's like, oh God, I didn't actually, I just missed a moment, whatever circumstances, people were around, whatever. Maybe I just was caught in my head and I hadn't fully honored and picked up. I'll pick it up afterwards and I'll circle back immediately, like the next morning or when we, on the way home from an event, whatever. I will, if I don't catch it in the first wave immediate, I will still, as much as I can, catch the first wave, as in I will circle back before another event that is similar happens. I'll circle back next morning, next day, an hour later, and go, hey, baby, see that thing, you know, when you said that earlier on? Yeah, I've picked up. There's an anger there, and what it's pointing to is blah, blah, blah. My queen gets to know me much better. I don't need to express much anger now. Because why? It's been a number of years I've been developing this practice and getting better and better at it. My queen knows me. Do you know what the surprising thing was, guys, for me? Surprising because, like many of you, you know, this moral bind of not expressing anger. One of the most common things my queen would say to me was, wow, you know, I never really knew that annoyed you so much. I never really knew, Mark, asking you to do, you know, whatever with the girls, you just always said okay. I never really knew that you were wanting to read a book or you were feeling tired. I never really knew, Mark. You know, like, if you don't tell me, if you don't tell me, I'm not to know. I realized, guys, because of my absolute disconnection from anger and feeling this, it was this immoral thing, I was saying yes, 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 yes. I was the Mr. Nice Guy, like 90% of you guys are. That persona, feminine pleasing. As I was judging my queen for, she should know, like, I just need more time to myself. And I was disgruntled. I was this gnarly cunt on the car on the way to work. And like, after she'd do it and I'd be doing the thing that I said yes to, that I did not say no to, I'd be there doing it, pissed off and resentful that she was asking me to do this. Why couldn't she do it? But I didn't say no. And thus I didn't say yes to the most important part of me, my authentic self and my needs, my desires, my wishes, my wants, my dreams, the whole kit and caboodle. My wife, my beautiful queen, is feeling way safer. She's like, yeah, I want to know what you want and what you don't want, what you like, what you don't like. And Mark, just tell me. First wave of anger, guys. It has transformed my entire life and with my parenting as well. The girls, and it's beautiful to see, because the girls now in a household where I'm leading with the expression of anger, and thus my queen can express her anger and really clearly find her authentic truth and expression and desires come true. Our girls will go, hey, Dad, I'm a no to that. Like, come on, I just want to watch the last few minutes of the show. You're coming in. You know, that wasn't nice how you did that. They say no. They're okay with their expression of anger. And as a family, we're thriving. We're really thriving and blossoming into fullness. I want that for all of you. The purpose of this movement is to create a society that humanity can be proud of. Again, you know, like one inspired family at a time. I want that to be your family. Coming into landing, I need your help with one thing super quickly, Kingly Brothers. Millions of men are currently desperately needing to find this podcast and the information that's in it. Can you please take 1 minute and leave us a 5-star scoring and a short positive review on iTunes or Spotify and, hey, other platforms if reviews are available? That is a super, super incredibly generous thing to do to support other men that are out there that are alienated, they're lone wolfing it, and they're risking divorce. Help them find this podcast. Leaving a review now is a great, great support for another man that is needing this information. I send you brotherly love, an ocean of appreciation from Roscommon, Ireland. This episode has been once more in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, kingly day.